We learned in our mission that a person can manually remove a wart from the carbon animal, but he can't use a kli. Why can't he use a kli? Explains Rashi in Divrei HaMaaskel im Bikli, because using one's hand only entails a shvus d'rabban, which was suspended for the sake of the carbon. But using a kli, that entails a malacha menater. Which malacha? Says Rashi, because he's being choytech balechaim, he's cutting from a animal, from a living creature, v'ave toilodo de goizes atzemer. It's a derivative of the malacha of goizes, sharing wool, which is one of the 39 malachas. As to Rashash, goizes atzemer, how does that apply in this case? He brings a Gemara in Shabbos where the Gemara tells us that doing bris milah, so removing the erla skin from a person on Shabbos, entails the malacha of chayvel, because he's inflicting a wound. We don't find anywhere that cutting something off a person or off an animal is considered to be goizez satsemer, which seems to be directed specifically at shearing wool or taking a haircut, removing nails, which are things which are meant to be trimmed and removed. These extremities certainly fall into the context of goizez satsemer. But removing actual skin, says Rashash, we seem to find in the Gemara and Shabbos that it doesn't relate to goizez satsemer. Sharing wool really doesn't connect to this experience. That's his kasha on Rashi. And it seems that Rashi learns that true, when it comes to cutting off the erla, the actual skin, which is part of the person, yeah, that's not considered to be like wool, which is being shared, or like hair, which is being cut. Therefore, goizes atzemer doesn't apply there. However, when it comes to removing a wart, which essentially is a foreign entity, it's not really part and parcel of the person. It's meant to be removed. It's like a person's hair, like a person's nail. In this case, Rashi maintains that the malacha of goizes atzemer surely will apply in this case. And just as you can't share wool or take a haircut, remove nails, for concern of that malacha, likewise removing this wart, this foreign element, is considered like sharing wool and is a malacha on Shabbos. Now, Taisa Namad Beit Zira Masach Malihu Asakasha. The Gemara tells us, even according to a blazer, that you can do a malacha, the raisa, for the sake of machshirei carbon, machshirei mitzvah. However, we're meant to minimize as much as possible. As Taisa's two kashas. Fine, so the braisa here tells us that we're meant to minimize to the point that when it comes to wart removal, how do you proceed? You do it by using your teeth. If so, says Taisa's, how do you understand the Mishnah back in Amar Aleph, which allowed one to remove the wart from his animal using his hand? The Mishnah doesn't stipulate you meant to use your teeth. Why that discrepancy? Number two, says Tosis, we find the Gemara Shabbos, that a blazer allows one to transport the sakin for the sake of the mila, so you can transport that mila knife through Rishus HaRavim. We don't find that we require him to take a roundabout route through the courtyards in order to minimize the malacha. Why? Why is that? So it says like this. When it comes to the wart present on the animal, due to mius, repulsiveness, Chacham didn't require him to remove it using his teeth. And therefore, he can remove it using his hands. And when it comes to the sakan shamila, says Tosfos, by requiring him to make alternate arrangements, do it derech shinoi, it's going to result in delaying the mila procedure. And due to this expediting factor, we allow him to go ahead and just run the knife through Rishus HaRavim directly without any need for a deviation. Now, the Gemara concluded with the case of the Kohen, who places the gemi on his wound, and we proceeded with the discussion of Chatzitza. The Gemara tells us, Rava tells us that b'mokim begadim, should he wear anything under his clothing, even nima achas choytzetz, even if it's just small size material, just one thread which separates the beged from his flesh, is considered to be a chatzitza, and this kohen can't proceed with the avodah. Now, many mefarshim ask a kasha. How is this consistent with what we find elsewhere? We know that when it comes to halacha, you have tzvila in a mikvah, where a chatzitza as well creates a psul. But it all depends how large a chatzitza it is. If it's only a miut, the chatzitz is present only in a small portion of a person's body, especially if he's not makpid on it, he's not particular about its presence, it doesn't create any concern. It doesn't invalidate the tefillah. There's no psul. So why over here do we say that if it's just one thread getting in the way of the beged, creating that barrier between the beged and the flesh, it's just a small, it's miut, perhaps he's not even makpid on it. So why is it a chatzitz? So the Teretz from the Zecher Yitzchak, Rabbi Lepanovich, as follows. He says that the halacha of miut is specific to immersion in mikvah. Why? He says it doesn't apply to bigli kahuna. By tzvila, there's an added element. You know, when a person goes into the mikvah, even if he's filled with chatzitzes, fact is, he was tovel in the mikvah, the person, the gavra, the person immersed, he was in the water. The halacha is, despite the fact, notwithstanding the fact that he's in the water, but if the water isn't coming into direct contact with his flesh, then the tefillah is possible. So, when it comes to that, we have guidelines. If the chatzitz is present on most of his body, in which case the water didn't touch most of his flesh, then that invalidates the tefillah. It's poisel the tefillah. It negates the tefillah, which he has already accomplished, by merely going to the water. However, if it's only there on part of his body, it's a miut, especially if he's not makpir on it, so it's batal. That small size, insignificant chatzitza doesn't have the ability to override, to negate what he did. So the point is that there are really two levels, two stages, two elements by a tefillah. There's the going into the water. Number two, the requirement to have the water come into contact with his flesh. That's an additional requirement. So we evaluate, we take a look at it. How much was missing? If the chatzitza prevented most of his flesh from touching, okay, that's too much. That overrides the fact that he's in the mikvah. But if it's only on a small portion of his body, especially if he's not makpid on it, that's small and insignificant and batal. It doesn't have the ability to override what he did. His immersion, his tefillah in the mikvah. It can't negate it and it can't be poiseled. So that's unique to tefillah. However, says the Zecher Yitzchak, when it comes to Bigdei Kehuna, it's unrelated to that discussion. The halacha here is that the beged has to be directly on his flesh. The pasuk says, al basaray, has to come into direct contact with the basar. If there's anything in between, even a small nima, a small thread, how are you going to fulfill the mitzvah? Just because it's small and significant, it doesn't matter. The beged, at that point, is missing contact with his flesh. Therefore, it's possible. Now, there's actually another application to this concept when it comes to the mitzvah of lulav. The Vilna Gaon in Shulchan Aruch explains, why does the Rambam require one to remove his rings when he picks up the lulav? So the Gaon cites a Tosis in Sukkah that is a chatzitza concern when it comes to lifting during lekichas netilas lulav. Therefore, he has to remove his rings. And the kasha there as well is that a ring is small, insignificant. It's a miut. He's certainly not makbar, and he wants to wear that ring. So why does it create a chatzitza concern between him and the lulav? We know that a miut, she'eni makbar, is no concern. There's no chatzitza. So it appears that the answer there as well is that this concept that a miut is not reckoned with is strictly by tevila, because he went to the mikvah. He was tevil. His flesh didn't touch. Okay, that's an additional requirement. We have to evaluate how much is missing. If it's just a small, insignificant amount, it doesn't negate the tefillah. When it comes to lekichas lulav, he has to go ahead and directly pick up that lulav. It has to be a direct lekicha, a direct touching, come into contact with that lulav. If there's something missing, there's even a small barrier on a small portion of his finger, a small ring. At that point, he's lacking direct contact. He's picking up the lulav indirectly. And therefore, he hasn't properly fulfilled the mitzvah of netilas lulav. That's why he has to go ahead and remove any chatzitza, as small as it may be, to enable him to properly come into contact and be noitel the lulav without chatzitza.